Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? That is good to hear. Welcome to all of our visitors today. Glad you're able to make it. Hope you're enjoying assembly. Let's open up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I do have it here. Okay, so some thoughts. I love the Assembly of the Saints. And with the cooling temperatures, you can basically just see the snow coming, all right? And with school starting, summer's gone. It doesn't matter if it's 100 degrees outside, summer's over, all right? And so I've just been thinking about, hey, you know, we're coming back from family camp. How great was family camp? You know, we just got the chance to do picnic in the park. How great is the picnic in the park? And now we get to have potluck today. I love the Assembly of the Saints. And it's really encouraged today. I really like how Kendall brought that in and made it tie into the Lord's Supper. As we go through the scriptures and get closer and closer to the new covenant, we learn more and more about the name of our God. Amen? And then he's like, hey, what about us? How do we get to know more about one another? And he used the example of just having someone over for dinner, right? And you do that for once a month over a couple years, and you could really get to know somebody. Hey, God has set a table on the Lord's Day, and we are here, and we are faithful and committed to it. Not only is it pleasing to our God, but we slowly get to really know one another. And man, I was just thinking about family camp. There were over 500 people at family camp this year. And I know for myself, I usually just say it's usually 4 to 450 is kind of the number that I know. 500? And that's why some of us have colds and we're not here today. But, and then the other thing that's amazing, brethren, is this congregation was over 110 people strong. That's probably the most, because I'm the one that's counting you guys all weekend, if you didn't know that. Okay? I got to turn that information in, and Karen got to help me out this year, which is nice. And 110 people. That's awesome. Way to represent. So then I got looking at this bulletin, and I was like, why does it look so different on the backside where the Bible question is? Well, we were gone last week, so we have the attendance numbers from the last 2 weeks, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, FC, FC, FC. We were all gone. We were at family camp. You know, there's probably just a few of us here, which I heard assembly here went really, really well. And I looked up, I'm like, something's off about those numbers. Do you see it? 152 people at evening assembly. I was like, how did that happen? We were in the park. And it just reminded me, like, how great, and it feels like it's been months since we were in the park, right? And so much has happened, and it just reminded me how great that was. And then we got to do family camp, and now we're here, and we've got potluck, and it's awesome. And, you know, let's hit 150 tonight. What do you say? I think we're at 137 this morning, so that might be a little out of reach. But just really encouraged. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 11 through 16 in opening here. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, your name is inconceivable. It is wonderful. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Justifier, the Redeemer, the beginning and the end, the Almighty God. Lord, we thank you so much for the life that we have through Christ Jesus, that even if we stare physical death in the face, There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your willingness to be the sacrifice on our behalf so that we might, through faith, have that eternal life. Lord, you did not save us so that we can just save our own skin. You have saved us and placed us into your church to carry out a purpose in this life to glorify your name. May we consider that today as we are assembled. Thank you so much for all the wonderful fellowship that we've had recently. Thank you for the truth that we can stand on. And thank you for the extra fellowship we'll have today as we celebrate potluck with one another. Please be with us and please bless us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so as I said on Wednesday, I kind of had this message already in my head. So if you guys were here on Wednesday for Bible class, I told you I was going to preach this message Sunday. Okay? Well, actually, I said, unless something from family camp jumps into my head, and it did, but I'm just choosing to wait to do that next week. Okay? So I said this was coming. Now, this message is largely themed around a string of messages and classes that we've been working on in Wednesday night. Working on this idea that God is building a spiritual temple, his church. Each one of us as living stones have been placed into that temple. Okay? And God has a purpose for that. And one of the greatest things that the spiritual temple, the church on earth, can do is fulfill the purpose for which it was placed in the body. So, you've probably heard this message before. But I want us to consider the body and the place that God has placed us into that body. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 is a really cool section here because it really kind of wraps up all of my thoughts in one section. We see in the beginning here that Jesus has given the church leadership, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and is to equip the church. It's to preach the gospel. It's to teach the gospel, to share the good news, so that we would be strengthened and equipped for every good work. And that work of service is whatever we have in front of us. Could be to strengthen the brethren, could be to share the word of God, it could be to bring something to potluck. Okay? We have been saved to serve. And so he goes on, and in verse 12, he says, "This equipping of the saints for service to the building up of the body of Christ." So we're starting to get this picture that the church is the body of Christ. And at first glance, we're kind of like, well, why would that be? But as we begin to look a little deeper here, that's going to make a lot of sense. But the Bible, from Ephesians, calls the church Jesus' body. And so he goes on in verse 14, and if we're built up and equipped for every work, we shouldn't be little babies carried away by everything. Okay, if you have little ones, they are carried away by everything. Okay, we were on the way to assembly this morning, and a plane was flying over our house, and it wasn't headed towards the airport, and it was flying really low. And my kids were like, "Whoa, Dad, did you see that? Look, that plane was so huge." And I'm like, oh man, that might be. I was kind of excited. I thought maybe it was like a military plane. And I looked out and it was just the plane that takes you to, you know, Portland. It's no big deal. But because it was flying so low, it looked bigger than normal, right? And I was like, oh, it's just a plane. Seen thousands of them, right? But the children are like, whoa, Dad, look at the plane. It's so big. Okay. Spiritually, we're not supposed to be like little babies who somebody says something contrary to the Bible in the marketplace. We're like, oh, wow, really? I wonder if that's true. It's like, no, know the word of God. Stand on the truth. Have faith. Don't be carried away by these things. Okay. So he goes on, and in verse 15, he says, "Speak the truth in love, so that we grow up." We're not supposed to stay spiritual babies. We're supposed to grow up. When we become Christians, like Kendall said, we might know a little bit about God, right? We have to believe that Jesus is God's son. We have to believe that God raised him from the dead, that in your baptisms you received forgiveness of sins, and that you received God's spirit. Like, these are kind of like the core things, right? But after that, we grow up. And we learn so much more, not only about the name of our God, but his plan for man. And his plan for this spiritual temple, his body, the church. So we grow up into all aspects into him who is the head. OK, Okay? So the picture that the Bible is giving us is that of a body. Any old body. And the head is Jesus. And the body is the church. Okay? If we actually turn on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll work through this section here. And let's see what the Lord wants us to understand about why. I mean, here's the point I'm making. God could have picked anything to be a physical representation and teacher of the church. Okay? He chose a body. So what does he want us to learn about that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us a pretty good picture of that. If we look in verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, says, "For even as the body is one," how many bodies do you have? Nod your head, say one. Okay, you're doing good. "Yet has many members." Okay, here's where this can get confusing. Okay, you have one body, but many members. What's a member? Head, shoulders, knees and toes. Okay, it's the arms, the hands, the feet, right? I mean, okay, you have one body, but it's made up of many parts, okay? And if you're ever marching in the Lord's army, right arm, left arm, right foot, okay, those are your members. So he says, "Even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so is Christ." It's a pretty cool picture, isn't it? Does Ephesians say that there is one church, one body? So if Christians are assembled in Billings today, are there Christians assembled in Wyoming? Are there Christians assembled in Africa? Okay, is it one body? It is. That's what the Bible says. Okay, we are separated geographically. All right, but it is one body. And the church is comprised of Christians. All right, so just as our physical bodies are one and has all of these members, so is the church. Hey, there's one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. Right? It doesn't matter. I mean, you can't call yourself a denominational name. You're a Christian if you are a follower of Christ, if you have Jesus' Spirit. That's what makes you a Christian, okay? And we're going to see that here in a second. But the point is, there's a lot of members, are there not? I think the count was 137 members in Billings right now, assembled in this building, right? Even though there's many, it is still one body. So in verse 13, he says, "For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were made to drink of one Spirit." Now you really got to consider this for a moment. By one Spirit. The literal there is in one Spirit. Okay? So in one Spirit, we were baptized into one body. What is the body? What is the body? The church. How do you get into the body? When you're baptized. Okay? When you're immersed. The word baptized means immersed. So you're submerged in water. Right? The sprinkling on the forehead is not the word that the New Testament uses. Okay? So you are immersed into the body. And you are made to drink of one Spirit. Well, what did Peter preach when the people said, "What do we do?" They realize they've just killed their Messiah. And the question comes up, what do we do? And Peter says, "Repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That tells us a couple things. When we are immersed into the church, into Jesus' body, right? We are also given access to the Spirit. We were all made to drink of one Spirit, right? Well, that's what Peter said from the very beginning. It's like when you all get baptized in Jesus' name, you get your sins forgiven and you get the Holy Spirit, okay? And it's whether or not you have the Holy Spirit is what makes you a Christian or not. That's the definition of a Christian, is whether or not you have the Spirit, Okay, so that's the first thing we see. The second thing, hopefully, that you've already connected is that your baptism into Christ Jesus that makes you a Christian is the exact same baptism that places you into his church. Because the church is comprised of Christians. Right? Now, I think you're tracking and it makes sense, but there's confusion about this. Maybe not necessarily here, but I grew up and remember being and visiting congregations, denominational churches in town, where you were a member of the church if you filled out a card that was in the pew in front of you. I'll never forget them because they made really good drawing utensils when I was like 6 years old. That's all we used them for. And you just take them off and then you color for an hour and you're quiet and mom and dad are happy, right? There's this idea that you can be a member of a church if you fill out a piece of paper. Is that Jesus' church? No, he says you're immersed in his name and then you're placed into his church. Okay, I've actually also been places where they practice water baptism, but it's so you can become a member of that church. Does that make sense? Which is close, but it's not there, is it? Because what they're saying is, let's say, I have no idea, I'm completely making this up. Let's just go a mile west. Let's say there's a church on Central and 54th, right? And they practice this. And they're saying, you have to be baptized to be a member of our church. They're saying, you're not a member of any other church. You're just a member of the one that's here on the corner of, you know, Central and 54th. Hey, the Bible says that when you're baptized into Jesus' name, you are placed into his body. And that body's in Africa. That body's in Wyoming. That body is here. Okay, so we learn a little bit about how to get into the body. And now that we are into the body, if we've been baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins to receive his spirit, see, that's kind of important, right? If you didn't believe that that's when you were getting your sins forgiven, and if you didn't believe that that's the moment that God was giving you the Holy Spirit, is God going to do those things? Well, the answer is no, because we're saved by our faith. So what we believe matters. Okay? So that tells us how to get in. But for those who are in, what's the form and function of the body? Okay, let's keep going here in verse 14. Now, some of this is going to become a little redundant, but hang in there with Paul. Not me. This, you know, you hang in there with Paul, all right? So in verse 14, he says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any the less part of the body. It's an important verse. Look, if you've been listening to any New Testament preaching for any duration of time, you have heard evangelists who are out there sharing the good news tell you the same thing over and over and over again about the generation we live in. And what the reoccurring message is, there's a handful of people in the world who are very interested in Jesus. A handful of people who are very interested in Jesus because of his power to save, but not all that interested in the church. And it sounds like I don't have to go to church to be saved. It's a little difficult to go to church. You are the church. We go to assembly. And this is a building. And we're thankful for it. Winter's 9 months long in this state, okay? So, we're immersed into this body. And we get Jesus Christ because we're immersed into his name. And he forgives us and gives us of his spirit. But we're also placed into the body. Now, you don't get to say, let's say, you know, who wants to be the hand? Okay? Donnie gets to be the hand. All right? Donnie's a hand. Donnie doesn't get to say, oh, I want to be a foot. And because I'm not a foot, I'm not a part of the body. It is not for this reason any the less part of the body. Because you don't get to pick Jesus and not pick the church. See, because the same immersion that places you into Jesus, oh, places you into the church. All right? And God's placed you, this is what we're going to see, and it's kind of the purpose of the message, God has placed you in the church exactly where he wants you. And that's the other reason why you don't get to say, well, I'm not a foot, or I'm not a hand. Look, you don't get to look around and be like, well, my place in the body should be that. Okay? And the example I always use here is, look, like, places in the body are, some are more obvious and some are not as obvious, right? And in a congregation of this size, like, the places in the body can be a lot more specialized. Okay? If there was 12 of us, a little amount of people would be doing a lot of work. Okay? But there's many of us. So now we kind of specialize more. And some people are just known for just having a smile on their face all the time, and that might be the greatest gift that's here. Okay? But some gifts are more obvious than others. And you don't get to say, well, because I'm not the preacher, I don't want to be a part of the body. You know? No one should let me be the preacher. You don't get to do that. Because why? Not because Nolan said so, because God placed you in the body, and he put you in that body perfectly. And for some of us, he's just waiting for us to wake up and fulfill and rise to the potential and position to which we have been placed. Verse 16, another example. If the ear says, well, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, what if everybody wanted to be an eye? The hands, the ears, the feet. What if they all wanted to be eyes and then they got their way, right? He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he has desired. See how important that is? Look, when we became Christians, yes, we have Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And if you are a Christian, you are in Christ. And that verse is true for you, but you are also a part of Jesus' church, his body. And you don't get to say, no, thank you. And the other part is, oh, and God has put you in there perfectly. And he's put you there for a purpose. And if you're an ear and you're not hearing because you're not doing your hearing duties, the body has no hearing. And that's difficult. That brings challenges. Okay? What if God placed people in the body as an eye and the eyes were like, I don't want to be eyes, I want to be feet because I want to travel the world. Where's the sight? See, God's point here is he's put them in the body perfectly so that way when the body comes together, it functions as a body. And then this body, which is the members, come together and we fulfill the purpose for which God has created us. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I'm different than most people, okay? But I get excited about that. Like when I realize our creating God has a plan for my life and there's purpose if I fulfill and chase after and learn and grow in faith and how I can serve the brethren, that excites me because I am a very goal purpose driven person. I need a goal in front of me and something that I am constantly moving towards. Now you might not be like that and it's okay, but the point is purpose puts power in living. Every one of us here is exactly where God wants us, but some of us aren't fulfilling the purpose for which we've been created in Christ Jesus. And look, it takes time. But we've got to be diligent in prayer to God and reading his word and praying at the same time. Lord, what is my place in the body? And you know what? God's not going to be like, turn to channel 7, and they go, boop, and it goes, okay, and then the infomercial, like, tells you your place. Like, that's not how God works, right? Okay, you get to go, and you start with, what can I bring? It's like, hey, you know what? Smiles on Lord's Day morning are pretty powerful. And if you could just remember someone's name, that's even more powerful, right? Start there. But you will grow into that place that God has placed you. But the point is that when you bring it together, it works perfectly. This is how God has designed it. Okay? Yeah, I don't know why this, I have no idea why this image is in my head. But when I read this verse and it said that God has placed us all in the body just as he has desired, I pictured a garden. Some things need planted next to other things, right? Have you ever heard of nitrogen fixtures? Do you know what those are? Okay, how important is nitrogen to plants? Like, super, super important? Like, your neighbor's probably dumping, you know, tons of, you know, chemical nitrogen on their lawn twice a year to get it to be green. That, if you ever see them out there, that's what they're doing, is they're dumping nitrogen onto their lawn. Plants need nitrogen, okay? Well, correct me here. Is it peas? Peas grow, and they produce nitrogen and then push it into the ground. How convenient is that? So you plant your peas next to your corn, right? Because corn soaks up more nitrogen than any other harvest plant that I know of, okay? Now, look, the natives in this country figured that out a long time ago, okay? I think you plant the peas and the corn and the, what's the three sisters? Come on, I know there's gardeners here. Squash? I don't know. I cannot substantiate that. But the point is, what if you planted this garden perfectly and you're like, okay, I saw like huge zucchinis coming in the front door this morning, like big ones, right? And it was like, what if you planted that and you're like, okay, you've seen a zucchini plant grow, like it needs lots of space, right? Like it's going to come out, it's got broad leaves and they get big, and you got, okay, that's going to take up that corner, and then the peas and the corn are going to be together, and the peas are going to travel up the corn, and the corn's going to get all the nitrogen, and it's wonderful. And then you come out and they just decided to up themselves and move where they thought they should be. And now you got pea plants growing with the zucchini plants. Well, the pea plants are going to die because they're going to be shaded out by the big leaves of the zucchini plants, right? See, God's placed us in his body perfectly, and he needs us to figure out where that is and not to be arrogant and to be like, I should be the preacher. You know, it's like, well, are you talented that way? Like, is that okay? Are you a dude? Like, can you do that? Like, because that's one of the scriptural requirements, right? So I just pictured this garden where you plant this thing and you have this perfect plan, and God's got his perfect plan for the church, and then they kind of just uproot themselves and go wherever they want because they think they know better. Like, the harmony of the garden is not going to work. So we keep working through here, and verse 18, God had placed each one of us just as he has desired. Verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Here's another really cool point, right? God's placed us all perfectly in the body. So that means if I don't like Jimmy John, I can't say he's not a part of the body, because guess who put him in the body? God, and not me. So just because you don't like the hand, you can't say you're not a part of the body. You can't say others aren't a part of the body. God places them in there. Got to learn how to work with them. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which we seem weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, given more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. There's so much we can learn about the form and function of the church from these verses. And we've talked about much of it, right? And then he kind of wraps up here with the members of our body that we deem less honorable. Can you think of a body member that's kind of like less honorable? It's kind of like, you don't really know how important that pinky toe is, right? Until you just run it right into a door jam. Have you guys ever lost like a fingernail, like it just fell off? Like, how important are fingernails when you don't have one? It's like everything that touches you is just instant sharp pain, right? We have these parts of our body that we kind of just forget about sometimes. And we take them for granted. And it's that little toe that's on the outside that spans out further than the rest of the toes that keeps you upright. So you don't do this. So it is with the church. Is it easy to overlook people? You know, it's the ones who are... I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but... I mean, you've probably already heard, I'm a little louder from up front than some of the other guys that gave exhortations this morning, right? Like, it's kind of hard to miss the people who are loud. And then some people have, like, really, really loud laughs, right? And some people are pretty confident in themselves. Some people are kind of prone to confrontation. It's like they walk into a room and you can feel them enter the room, right? They have bold personalities, right? And hopefully most of it's for the good reasons, right? But are there other people who are kind of quiet? And maybe during assembly, they just kind of naturally just drift to the corner. Nice to meet you. Okay, that's their personalities. And is it easy to overlook them? Happens, doesn't it? And the illustration we're told, hey, if there are people who have the appearance of being less presentable, give them more honor. And if there are people standing up front in front of you with loud voices and confident tone, they don't need it. You just ignore them. No, just kidding. I'll take your encouragement too. But like, hey, like, if anything, you've got this the wrong way, Corinthian. If there are people who you think are less honorable in the body, you better be giving them more honor. And the people who you think are so important and you're giving them all the honor, they don't need it. Because we are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's how this whole thing started off. Right? When we were reading there in verse 13, it doesn't matter if you were a Jew or a Greek. Doesn't matter if you were an American or a Canadian. Doesn't matter if you were a slave or if you were free. We are one. Each one of us important. If one member suffers, they all suffer. If one rejoices, all are honored. Let's wrap up in Romans chapter 12. Maybe easy for you to remember. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. Two chapters of the New Testament that talk about the body as it is an illustration for the church. I really like going through 1 Corinthians 12 because we can learn a lot about the form and the function of the church from that. And I myself, just going through it this morning, have been very encouraged, and I hope you have been as well. But the thing is, God has a plan for his church. You know, and I think it's easy to fall into this line of thinking sometimes, because sometimes it's easy to feel like, you know, God saved me. Thank you, God. And now it's kind of just like hang on for dear life until you die. Because life makes you feel like that sometimes. And then there's kind of this other thought that, and these are not good thoughts, okay? And then there's kind of this other thought that I think people get sometimes, like, okay, God saved me. Thank you for saving me, God. Hang on for dear life until I die. And my goal is to just screw up as least as possible so that way when I do die, God will still accept me. Does our faith produce good fruit? I mean, should screwing up be the Christian's nature? No. So I appreciate, you can see these things, these thoughts come from, you know, the right perspective. But don't you think for just a second that maybe there's more to the church than hang on for dear life, don't screw up, and then maybe God will save you on judgment day? Or has he assembled you perfectly, like a machine? What is the most complicated, complex machine on earth? It's the human body. There is no computer that they can create that can process the way that the brain processes. And the information it takes in nanoseconds and computes. Your eyeball alone has taken in billions of images since I got up here, and your brain has processed every one of them and said, that's far away. This one's close. That's brown. This one's red. Okay? That's a shadow over there. That's the sun. There's light. Like billions of images. There is no more complex machine on this earth than the human body. How about the church? You want to talk about complex? I mean, we all live in Montana. And even that, we all have so much different from one another. And I think it's cool. You know, I mean, I'm gonna fail here, but we have brethren from, at times, we have brethren from Honduras and El Salvador and Belarus and Russia, and at times Ghana and India. What am I missing? Sometimes Barbados, right? And that's Montana. What if we took the whole body as a whole and put them all together like in some place in eastern United States? Like, how different would we be? And that's our opinions and our cultures, and God brings it all together and it works perfectly because we are united to the fullness of Christ, Ephesians said. We are united in the cause to live our lives in service to Jesus Christ. But it takes each member doing its part. And that's what I want you to take away from today. I'm not saying you have to confidently stand up and say, I am a preschool teacher and that is my role in the body. Which, that's a role. That's a good one. But you don't have to, it doesn't have to be that clear. I am a Sunday school teacher and that is my role in the body. I mean, that's a role and that's a good one. Okay? I am a preacher. You know, like, okay? But to fulfill the purpose for which you've created, you kind of have to have a picture of what you do that serves the brethren. Now, we've got some examples here in Romans 12, and it's not limited to these, but here's a great place to start if you don't know your place in the body. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Now, this fits in the middle of serve God, don't think more highly of yourself. These are positions in the body, and this is what Christianity looks like. That's basically chapter 12 in a nutshell. So when he puts this, don't be arrogant. It's kind of weird how he does that. Serve God, don't be arrogant. Here's positions in the body, and this is what practical Christianity looks like. Love, practice hospitality. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. We have a whole list of what Christianity looks like, and we should be able to recognize Christianity when we see it. Because it's service, right? And then he's got this weird line kind of wedged right in the middle. Don't be arrogant. Do you know why that's in there? Well, it goes all the way back to 1 Corinthians 12. Well, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body. Like, look, when it comes to knowing where God's placed you in the body, you got to humble yourself. And ask you, like, I want to be the preacher. It's like, well, can you speak clearly from up front? Well, no. But I'm the preacher. He says, don't... Okay, he says, think so as to have sound judgment. It means be reasonable. Use good discernment. Ask people for feedback. The quickest way to find out your position in the body is to ask other people for feedback. What am I good at? And if I could, and as we read this list in closing, if I could give you one tidbit or one piece of encouragement as we close, if you're not sure what your place is in the body, or maybe it's changed because it does, find out what you're good at. And then share it with the brethren. Okay? Now, you don't have to, but let's say you're a really good cook. My address is 411 31st Street West. I like banana bread and scotcheroos. A whole lot. Okay? Share it. Find out what you enjoy. Find out what you're good at. And then just share it. Isn't that what they told you when you were 18 in your guidance counselor's office? What do you want to be when you grow up? They're like, find out what you're good at and learn how to get paid doing it. Right? I mean, that's the best career advice you could give anybody. Find out what you're good at and what you enjoy and figure out how to get paid. Okay? Well, it's kind of similar in the church. Find out what you're good at. Find out what it is you enjoy. Share it with us. Share it with us. Verse 4, just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. See how this sounds like 1 Corinthians 12? So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Prophesy means to tell the word forth. That's what's happened from up front all morning. God's word has been told forth. Okay, if that's your gift, share with us. Be a teacher. if service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching. It sounds complicated, but see, when you're in a slightly larger congregation, these things can be specialized. There's lots of ways you can serve. You can bring me the scotcheroo, right? There's lots of ways you can teach. Sunday school teachers littered this room at 9 a.m., and it was really fun because everybody got to go, a lot of people got to go into a new class, right? You can teach. You could teach from up front to the whole congregation, right? Or you could teach children, all right? He says, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality. Hey, are there needs? Does the body have needs? It's like if one member suffers, the whole body suffers, right? So if, let's say you jam that pinky toe into the door jam, like that pinky toe is particularly hurting, but the rest of the body hurts because now you don't get to go bowling with the family because you can't stand, right? Like the whole body suffers. Are there times when we need to give to one another when parts of the body are hurting and we need to go and help them? It could flat out be pay their rent. Or it could be to bring them Scotch roos. I don't know. Okay? Give. Give. Your time, your money, your attention, your love, just your smiles. Exhort. He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Hey, hope that was encouraging this morning. You know, I think I told you guys on Wednesday I was going to preach this message, and I just know because of the Lord Jesus what this congregation in Billings is a part of the body as a whole could do in the name of the Lord if each one of us were bringing to the table the talents and the service that we have. God's placed us in that body just as he has desired. And if it's all for, if it's all functioning and forming together perfectly, what could we not do for the Lord in this town? Don't you, and you guys go ahead and stand. And I just want you to consider one thing. Shouldn't this town know about the Church of Jesus Christ? Does it? I go down to Broadwater and 15th. Do you know the Church of Jesus Christ? This town should know. And I know that each one of us come together and fulfill our part, we can knock it out of the park for the Lord in this town. And then you read the New Testament, and you know what Paul's saying to those guys? Your faith has spread to regions across the world. That's what is possible through Christ Jesus. It starts in this town, and then it spreads on out, but it's got to begin in this building. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are the perfect creator. You are the perfect designer. You have put together, and it's so cool. You are spirit. You dwell in a spiritual realm. But we've been bound by our habitations and by our time, the scripture says. We're in a physical universe that will extinct when time comes for judgment. But until then, we are here. And you have gone through great lengths to communicate to us spiritual things. And you use physical examples to do that. And it's all over the Bible. But you know, you think about just the body itself, the human body, the one that you have to feed and the one that's got to sleep from time to time and just how complicated it is. And then you just think about just not just all the way that the hand, you know, the knee bone's connected to the shin bone and shin bone's connected. Like, we're talking about like there's hormones and there's cells and they're each individually complex and they have shelf lives and they perform their function and some of it's irreducibly, it's crazy to think about. And you are using that as an example to explain to us about how we ought to consider the church. And the thing is, we are all individually members of it. And I didn't get a chance to bring this out. We are all one in Christ Jesus and together we form your body. But you make a special point to tell us in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are individually members of it. You are not taking away from, we are not robots. We are not like those cells that have been programmed by God to carry out a purpose. Like we have choice. And we get to choose whether we want to be a part of this thing too. And we get to choose whether we bring our talents and share them with one another and our service to the building up of one another. But it has a purpose. And so we thank you and we trust you for your wisdom in that, that each one of us would be excited to serve and fulfill the role for which we have been created. We don't get to walk out because we don't like the boss. We don't get to walk out because they put us, you know, stacking shoes in the back room. I should be the manager. Nope. We get to figure out what we have, who God has made us to be, and then bring it to build up one another. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.